Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one, or in today's case, one-on-two, with people from the entertainment industry. My guests today are Mark Rubenstein and Jim Landry of the band Grey Lions. Good afternoon to both of you, and thank you for taking time out to talk with us today.
My pleasure, Simon.
Hey, good afternoon, Simon. Thanks for having us.
Mark, you and I have spoken before. You have had a very interesting career. Let's face it, doing the light show for the Grateful Dead. You could probably write entire books about that. Give us a quick thumbnail sketch of who Mark Rubenstein is and the Pig Light Show.
Well, a quick thumbnail. I was a musician. We didn't have that much work, and I was interested in lighting. I did lighting for my band. Then every other band wanted me to do lighting for them. Then I saw my first real light show, the Joshua Light Show, and I started the Pig Light Show. The next thing I knew is I was doing TV, the Fillmore East, the Capitol Theater, and tons of other places. And I was working with, almost everybody with a big name in the late 60s, early 70s. And during the interim years, I taught theater, lighting, design, of course, and other things, blah, 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 blah. And then a few years ago, I got back into music, wrote a huge amount. My friend Mark Hudson asked me to cut some demos, and I found Jim and an old friend of mine, John, who was the bass player, John Light, and Jim and John and I went into the studio, did some things for Mark. He said, God, we should make a CD, and then for 2 years later, we had the CD complete, and Jim helped tons, not just with the drums, but with the mixing of it, and he and Mark and I did most of the production, although I give Mark pretty much the credit because so many of the production ideas were his. And Jim and I, with Jim Bagley, who was our engineer, did the final engineering and mastering on the CD. But that's pretty much me.
Jim, I don't know what an obviously nice guy like you is doing, you know, hanging out with the likes of Mark. What's your story? What's your background?
I started playing back in the mid-60s and played in live entourages for my entire life. Played the Maritime Provinces in New England states back in the mid to late 70s, ended up down south and spent 10 years with an outfit named Fool Star. We scored 3 top 10s in the regional billboard with a number 1 in there. I moved back to the New York area to scout around for another professional gig. Didn't happen. So I decided to head home and relax a bit, and I wrote a book. I sold the book to a woman who happened to know Mark. On the back of the book, it mentions that I'm a musician as well as a writer. And she said, what do you play? And I told her drums, and she said, well, you know what? I know a fellow who's looking for a drummer. What are you doing right now? And I said, I'm looking for a gig. So Mark and I hooked up, and that's how I ended up with Mark.
Okay, I think we have kept the audience in suspense long enough. Would either of you have any objection to me playing a track from this fabled CD? I was thinking about It Just Ain't Enough. How does that sound to you guys?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Sure.
Okay, here is It Just Ain't Good Enough.
What you're feeling or what you want to say. I don't really care at all about how you're gonna pay. No, it really doesn't matter to me. I put up with you all these years. It's time for me to go when you really gotta know it's just a bit too late. Where you want to save this, you beg me to just hang tough. But babe, you could do everything you could do, and I still have to say, it just ain't enough. If I'd gotten back even half, I would have accepted that. But you didn't even give me half, and all I can do now is laugh. Now I really gotta go, and you really gotta know, to say I need a lot more than just half. You swear you wanna save it, you beg me to just hang tough. But babe, you could do everything you could do, and I still have to say, it just ain't enough. It just ain't enough. It just ain't enough. It just ain't enough. A person gotta do what their heart tells them to, and sometimes they don't stand a chance. Sometimes you try, and you ask yourself why, and turn away without a backward glance. It just doesn't matter what you're feeling or what you want to say. I don't really care at all about how you're going to pay. You know it really doesn't matter to me. I put up with you all these years. It's time for me to go, and I really gotta know it's just a bit too late for tears. You swear you wanna save this, you beg me to just hang tough. But babe, you could do everything you could do, and I'd still have to say, it just ain't enough.
Really great tune, and I have to admit that it made me perk my ears up. That there's some very interesting aspects to it. The backing harmonies, it wasn't something that I was expecting. is this a direction that, you know, Grey Lions often use?
Well, a big part of it is, you know, working with Mark Hudson. And Mark loves thick background vocals. So, you know, we ended up going with a lot of that. And Mark, all of the background vocals in that is Mark. Just overdubbed and overdubbed. I sung the lead, but he had in his mind exactly what he wanted to hear out of it. And each set is something like 12 layers. There were times that he did 32 layers of stuff in other songs. And, you know, that's just the backing vocals. And it was incredible. Our bass player sometimes sits back and says, "But that doesn't sound like us." And I said, "Well, if we go on tour with a bunch of vocalists doing backups, that's exactly what it will sound like."
In fact, earlier today, I was listening to the track, you know, preparing for this interview, and my wife doesn't usually, agree with my, likes in music, but she listened to it, and she said, "Well, yeah, it's okay."
Thanks.
No, I mean,
can always be worse.
Yeah, I mean, don't take offense at that. Yeah, and trust me, her, if it's not on CMT, you know, it's not music in her mind. But you know, we were talking about the backing vocals, and I said, you know, I have this vision. There's four guys that they're probably not in their 20s or 30s, and that they look like rockers. And off to the side of the stage are three or four very prettily dressed, coordinated young ladies doing the vocals. But I guess I'm completely wrong. That's not the way it is.
No, it might be that way, yeah. You know, if we tour with it. But, you know, a lot of this... I'd have to say we are a three-piece sort of power band. And, you know, everything is based on that. And if we ever tour, you know, we're not young. And if we get out on tour with this, we want to do it right. We don't want to just play bars like we did when we were, you know, 20. And so we looked at it and said, what would we do if we could do a full-out production of it? And, you know, Mark jumped right in there, and he was like, oh, we got to do this. Oh, we're going to do this. And, you know, we sat back and said, wow, that sounds great. Yeah, let's do it. So, you know, we did a lot of overdubs, a lot of things, but we kept thinking about it. How would we do this on tour? And everything that we did in there, you know, just having a couple more singers here and, you know, an organist or pianist with us, it's all very doable, but, you know, it was just a ball.
Yeah, I asked Mark Hudson, when did you put this together for the background vocals? He says, I do it while I'm in there. He says, put me in the playroom. He says, it'll all come to me as the song's playing. And it's like the song rolls by him on an assembly line, and he throws stuff at it, and it just comes out beautifully. Like Mark said, we have almost 60 tracks on each song, and on a choral part harmony, which is a four-part harmony, Mark will sing each part four times over each other. So a choral part harmony, one part of that becomes 16 tracks in and of itself.
Yeah. And he'll do things like, he'll be doing, like, let's say 16 tracks, four of one, four of another, four of another, but he'll get to like number three in a group and go, ooh, ooh, and then out of nowhere come up with one more thing that's a little different, and then when we go back to mix it, you know, just by putting it in a certain place, it sounds like a couple of more voices coming in on top of it. So you get the impression that sometimes there's even more. And, oh, it was just a ball. Because it's like watching a kid in a candy shop. No other way to describe it. He's like in a toy store.
I mean, it is just a genuinely splendid track. You know, that there's bits and pieces of, you know, so many genres, so many styles, and that they all marry together.
Well, I think a lot of that is, you know, the fact that Mark and I are a week apart in age. He was born a week and 2 days earlier than I was in 1951. John is a little bit older. Jim is a little bit younger. But all of us have gone through so many musical influences that when we sit down in the studio together, there's no loss of ideas. And Mark's a very cool producer that way, because he's able to absorb all of the ideas and then come up with things that you didn't even think you were thinking of. But he put like a little bit of John, a little bit of Jim, and a little bit of me together with something that was in the back of his mind, and then boom, something else comes out. And we go, oh, okay.
I have to ask the obvious couple of questions. How long has Grey Lions been around? And where did the name come from?
Well, we've been around, what was it, February 2007, 2008, Jim?
It was 2008. We met right after I published the book.
Right.
Which was so, December of 2007.
New Year's Eve of, or New Year's Day of 2008, Mark had sent me an email the night before saying, no, you got to talk to me. And so New Year's Day, I called him and we were talking. And he said, I want to put something together for you and, you know, get some of these songs out there. And I found Jim and John and we went into the studio. And we put together a demo of, Mark had a list of four songs that he really, really wanted, and another three songs that he said, these are quirky, I love them, can you do them as well if you have time? So we did, and most of them, except for one, maybe two, made it onto this record, this CD. And he played with them for a while, then he got all tied up with some other things in his schedule, and then we put together a timetable to actually do the recordings. And there were some delays and all, but we came in, we laid down some tracks, Mark had us redo some things, you know, and we came in and out of the studio over a period of the next year and a half, 2 years, and finally came up with this, and we finished mastering it, I guess, end of August, beginning of September, and we had it packaged and ready to go out sometime in November, and I think it came out, or we finally got it print, you know, pressed late November, early December.
In fact,
the name Grey Lions.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that part of the
name
question.
Grey Lions is actually G-R-A-Y. That's where Mark comes from, Gray, Maine, and lions we got from the idea that, like a lion, we have no loss of energy despite our, well, I'll say wisdom, age.
I want to come back to the CD, but Before we do that, would you mind if I played another track from it?
Oh, no.
Okay.
My guest.
How does Luck of the Draw sound?
Oh, that sounds great.
Okay, this is Luck of the Draw.
Every morning you wake up, you place your bet on the line. You empty up everything and hope it works out fine. You're running in the race and you better get going. Rely on nothing at midnight, knowing you. Well, I tell you, my friend, it's just the luck of the draw. The luck of the draw. The luck of the draw. Every day you're a gambler and your life is the best. Better not get too cocky, man, just hope you haven't lost yet. Times when as you play reckless, don't touch the luck or love your land.
Enough. I mean, it's completely different treatment, and you know, in some ways, you could put me in a blind taste test, and I'm not sure I'd be able to, you know, say, oh yeah, it's by the same people. It really is completely different. Was that what you were aiming for?
Well, not necessarily, but, you know, the big thing is again, Jim has different influences than I, and John has different influences than both of us, then there are some that overlap. But when we then get together, like, I'll write a ton of songs, and I'll send, like, little simple demos to each of them, and, you know, we get different feedback based on what our feelings are and what our musical tastes are, and, you know, Jim adds some, John adds some, and then the song takes its own sort of route from there, and we're not trying to make it sound a certain way, but each of our influences on the song will make the song take its course, as opposed to we shove the song into our format. What do you say, Jim?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. We don't try to manufacture hit songs. We let our influences take the best of us, and we try to take Mark's ideas and his vision and make it happen. Like on that song there, as opposed to It Just Ain't Enough, I put a big, big Ginger Baker feel on it because that's the way the song felt to me. On the other song you played, it felt like it needed just the straight 4/4 backbeat, and that's what I gave it.
So very much songs evolve. They, you know, you don't direct them so much as just let them create their own space.
Well, yeah, because you know, we don't have, I don't know how to put this best. It's not like we have a sound and we have to force everything into that sound. Where, you know, I come up with songs and we sit there and say, oh, where could this go? And because each of us has a slightly different vision, we each bring a little something into it. And I'll say, absolutely, whatever I've come up with as the original idea of the song, none of them have turned out the way I originally thought of them. And I said to Jim at the very beginning of 3 years ago, hey, February, 3 years ago, that's exactly right. I said to him, you know, I have nothing invested in these that I have to force it anyway. I want to see where they go. It's like children. You know, each of us gave a little bit of education to this child, and he grew a certain way. And if you listen to the album, the things, I think what you get is we believe every song we did was good, really good, but we didn't force any of them to sound like any of the others.
Right. And we've talked about the album, and we've played two tracks, but you know what we haven't done?
What?
Is actually give it a name. I think it's called Wild Run.
Run Wild.
Run Wild. I'm sorry. So I think it's time for a shameless commercial. Where can people buy copies?
Well, they can get them on Amazon, on iTunes, or on thegreylions.com. And on greylions.com, you could actually get a CD or downloads, individual or the whole album. Both Amazon and iTunes, you know, are obviously just downloads, but you can get the whole album or individuals. The funny thing is, though, when we put the group name together, I went to get greylions.com. And when I looked it up online, it was a real estate agent in Florida or somewhere. So we had to go with the Grey Lions just so that we could get a URL that would be, you know, the group's name. So if you look on Amazon or iTunes or you try to get it online, The Gray with an A, G-R-A-Y, Lions. And please do. We'd love to see some sales of this coming out.
Oh, and I think you are going to see a lot of sales. Jim, you mentioned earlier in the interview that you have a book. My ears perked up because I am a book reviewer. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, the book is based on, it's really fiction. It's not total fiction. But to tell you what's true against what storytelling, we'll have to sit down over a beer. It's about...
Oh, and I'm always in favor of that.
Sure. It's about a rock and roll drummer touring with a group whose mind slowly degenerates, and he ends up in the end doing something totally out of character and absolutely outrageous and against the law.
Oh dear. But we bailed him out. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does this book have a title?
Yes, it's called Fool Star. FOOLSTAR.
All righty, I'm going to be looking it up. Jim, you're in trouble now.
I hope so.
My next question, I think I already know the answer, but I want to ask it anyway. You know, there are bands that love the studio, and there are bands that love the stage. Where does Grey Lions sit? I mean, I think you're probably right now more of a studio band, but I get a real sense that nothing would give you greater pleasure than to be on stage.
From my point of view, yeah. We're a studio band right now because that's what we've had to be. And, you know, we talked it over a lot. And the fact is, again, like I said before, we're Grey Lions. We're not Cubs. And we really don't want to do, like, the bar circuit and all. And if we were going to tour, if and when we can tour, I'd love to. But we want to do it right. And we don't want to... This sounds a little obnoxious in some ways. We don't want to backpedal and be where we were. You know, if we're going to go out, I want to go out on a proper tour. You know, and I think Jim and John feel the same way. You know, we paid our dues. We don't really want to pay them again. If we made enough money, we could keep making CDs, but I'd love to be playing in front of people and showing them that all of this stuff we did in the studio can be done live and with a lot of fun. You know, how do you feel, Jim? I that's my thing.
I agree. I think that we're more session men at this point, and I think that we'd be just as happy, a la Steely Dan, doing nothing but nice records and selling records before doing any touring. But I think that we're all instrumental performers, and we'd love to tour under the right circumstances, under the right situation, which would be a total professional gig without going back to bars. I think that we'd be happy maybe in small theaters on up.
Yeah.
But nothing less than that.
But another big thing is that, you know, I do have the light show. And I have a friend of mine who I taught proper light show 2 years ago. And he or another couple of people would be happy to tour with us and be the light show. And that way we could have a full light show and, you know, the band. And it would be sort of like the way Jefferson Airplane used to tour. But you can't do that in a bar. You need a screen. You need some room. And, you know, I think that's what we would like to do, you know.
Right. And it is tough. I mean, you got to find the right size venue, and obviously you got to have the right amount of followers. You know, too few and no one's going to book you. Too many and they go, oh, you wouldn't work here.
Well, my ideal would be to somehow get Mark out on tour with us, and then we could do a set of his things and a set of our things. And that way we'd double, or he has a much larger audience than we do right now. But, you know, something like that would be a ball. Do you hear me, Mark? Are you there?
Does Mark perchance live in the 610 area code? Because I seem to have people calling in from that area code.
No, he has a place in New York, and he has his studio and a place in L.A. I shouldn't give out too much personal information because he, you know, there are stalkers, you know. But, it would be 212 in New York or, you know, whatever L.A.'s is. Of course, cell phones can be anything, so.
Indeed they can. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the clock here. And I do want to play one last track, because I like it. And,
okay.
You know, I'm the guy running the radio show, so yeah, I guess I get final say. Would you have any objections to me playing Who Do You Love?
Absolutely none. I love it.
Okay. Well,
I wrote it. Of course I like it.
Well, let's take it out for a spin.
Okay.
I give you my money, let you live in my home. Give you all you ask for, I never tried to roam. I just don't understand what you're waiting for. Make me wait much longer. I don't need no more evasions. If it's fine, you won't know. Who do you love?
Who do you love?
Who do you love? Slippery eyes and ice cubes melted in your hands. Why can't you just answer? I just don't understand. I'm seeking a commitment. Want you to take a stand. I just wanna know it. I'm your only loving man. Can't take much more of this, girl. Just tell me if you can. Who do you love?
Who do you love?
Give me an answer. Give me a sign. Who do you love? in my home. Give you all you ask for, I never tried to roam. I just don't understand what you're waiting for. Make me wait much longer. I don't need no more attention. This is why we wanna know. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love?
Okay, I'm intrigued. I didn't advertise this particular program as a dial-in show, but I've got people coming in from the area code 610.
One of them is our bass player, John.
Oh, okay.
My wife just came up and said, tell him to answer the 610. It's John.
All right. This must be John on the line then. Oh, area code 610.
Hello.
John, you're on the air. Speak to us.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Am I on yet?
You're on.
You are. I do apologize.
Yes, speak.
I had no clue that you were going to be joining us. And, you know, I'll shut up.
Anyway, hi, Mark. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How come you didn't answer the email telling you about the show?
I was probably asleep.
Ah, that's true.
My normal job, I work nights, so I'm usually asleep now. But my wife woke me up and said, oh, you forgot about the interview. Here I am.
Jim.
Nice to meet you, Simon.
Oh, and I should throw out one point.
Okay.
John and I got beat up really good from Mark, but Mark always loved exactly what Jim did. But then again, Jim's a drummer, Mark's a drummer, and even our engineer, Jim, is a drummer. So we were outnumbered before we even got into the studio.
Oh, well, I mean, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, it was an honor for me.
That's because you're a drummer.
Yeah, well, because he's a drummer and he loved everything I did. I didn't have to do any redos. Made me feel right proper.
Good. And just out of idle curiosity, where on earth is area code 610?
At not far outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. That place.
Rugby in Philadelphia.
It's the home of Dick Clark. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right, there you go. Well, we're getting towards the end of the program, but I'd love to hear a little bit about you. You know, what's your background, and how did you meet these bad characters?
Well, Mark and I were in school together back in the 60s.
Yeah, we have a long history.
A long history.
Was it an approved school?
Occasionally reform school, I think. But I was playing, and Mark played, and then one day Mark actually decided to do lights. This is back in the 60s, mid-60s. I said, oh, I saw this, and I might try this. And then he started doing more lights more than his music. Mark always played music, but the light show became more paramount in his visions at that time. And in this case, anyway, we've been friends ever since. Just one of those things. And we played a little bit together in the 70s, and then we had a habit of losing track of each other from time to time over the decades. So we're going to come back to each other for some strange reason.
I interviewed Mark about the Pig Light Show, and he sent me a DVD. It was the sampler, and I think the only thing he didn't include was the LSD.
That's illegal.
If you turn the music up really loud, you don't need it.
Mark, do you still do lighting stuff?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, next month I'm doing the Fest for Beatle Fans in New Jersey. The New York Fest is actually held at, what's it? Oh, God, I forgot the hotel. They'll kill me. But it's in the Meadowlands at the, what's the one with the big S? Sheridan. Sheridan Meadowlands. That's March, the weekend of the 23rd, 24th, 20, something like that.
Wait a minute, I'm on my computer. You want me to look it up?
Nah. Well, okay. Yeah, I don't care. And if anybody's out there, of course, I'm trying to get as much work as I can with the light show or the band. So piglightshow.com or thegreylions.com. Get us work.
I got to admit, my wife that opened up the envelope, and she said, "I don't know what this is." She just handed it to me. I said, Pig Light Show. Alrighty. And I love to sit outside on my front porch. It's my favorite reading spot. And I had a couple of books that I needed to rattle through, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to take my portable DVD player out there. And I took it out there. I popped the DVD in. And I just put the books down. I was going, there's got to be LSD in that envelope. I just have to find it.
Something of interest here on the Beatle Fest.
Yeah.
This says New York Metro, March 25th to 27th. New Jersey Crown Plaza, Meadowlands. No hotel. Probably, hopefully it'll be big signs.
Maybe that's it. Crown Plaza. I don't know.
I'm just looking at the tickets.
Oh, okay.
Crown Plaza. Here it is. Crown Plaza Meadowlands Hotel in Secaucus, New Jersey. Here it is.
That's it. Secaucus, dear.
Secaucus. Yeah. Secaucus.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Secaucus.
Yeah.
Now all my New Jersey friends are going to hate me. So.
I have a very good friend who. Is an author, and two of his books are Beatles-oriented, and he makes a point of attending, Beatle stuff. I will put him onto this. So, if you hear from a gentleman by the name of John Cherry, yeah, just pretend you've never heard of me.
Ah. Okay.
Simon, don't forget to look for my book. I'd love to do a review with you.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely, we are going to do that. And my producer is squawking in my ear, as she has a wont to do. I have to wrap this up, but I just want to go around the table. Number one, I want to say thank you ever so much, but I'd like each of you just to take a moment and, give me your thoughts for the day. Mark, you kick it off.
My thought for the day. Oh, my God. Love your family, love your friends, because they're the only really important things in the world. How's that?
All righty. I was thinking something deep and meaningful, like buy our CD.
Oh, buy our CD, yeah. We should each say that three times will get us in trouble. And love our CD as well. Buy it.
Buy it, love it, and tweet
have
all your friends.
Our CD. Next.
Yeah. Okay. Who wants to come up to the plate next?
Landry.
I will.
Yeah, Landry.
Yeah.
You know, I was born to travel. Can't be sorry I'm not home. Rand McNally wrote my Bible. Willie Nelson wrote my song. Buy our CD and buy my book.
I like it. It has a certain certain twist to it. And that leaves one.
Ah, yes. Basically, of course, buy the CD, of course, and then and buy a lot of them, just so I can fly back up to Maine.
Yeah, I got lots of songs waiting for our next few CDs, so buy them and get John back up here.
Yeah. Well, you can ship some of them down here.
Yeah.
No, lately you've had worse weather than we have. No.
Actually, buy them before the price goes up.
Yeah.
There you go. He says it better than we do.
Well, that's why he has the radio show and we don't.
It might have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this has been delightful. And I really, really appreciate you all talking to me today. And I want to wish you every success with Grey Lions. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on stage.
Oh,
so, you know,
thank you very much, Simon.
Ryan, so you keep
me in
the loop. You've
been a gracious host.
We will keep you in the loop and tell Billy he should send you a CD. Gosh.
You're right. Ah, oh, poor Billy.
I love him. He's a good guy.
He is indeed. Okay. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a wonderful wonderful day, wonderful week, wonderful life. And I thoroughly recommend the Grey Lions. Not only is their music outstanding, they're three outstanding gentlemen. Till next time, goodbye.